podcast November 4th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio, and also visit us on thesportscast.net, or you can follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1. Check us out in our app, The Sportscast for iOS. The college football rankings came out this past week. A lot of question marks, but a lot of people believe that Tennessee is number one. And joining us all the way from Northeast Ohio, Andre Gisbert, welcome back to the Sportscast.
How you guys doing? How you doing?
Doing good, Andre. It's warm down here in South Florida. I heard it's snowy and a blizzard up in Northeast Ohio, isn't it?
No, man. As I talk to you today, it's 68 degrees outside and not a cloud in the sky.
Well, the first college football playoff rankings came out this week. Tennessee is number one. Number two, Ohio State, which you're not too far from. Number three, Georgia Bulldogs. Four, Clemson. Five, Michigan, Alabama, TCU, Oregon, then USC and LSU. Your thoughts over these rankings?
You know, when you go to buy a car and you go to the dealership and you look at the sticker, you get that sticker shock. But then it hits in and you settle in and you realize, yeah, well, it might be worth that. It might cost that, and that's what it is. And that's, you know, and then you go and you talk to the general manager or the sales manager and you tell them what you're willing to pay, and you know, they find they work out a deal to meet somewhere in the middle. Well, that's basically what we're dealing with. It's the first rankings, guys. So we got a lot of sticker shock. Everybody's freaking out because how in the world is it that the big dogs over at Rocky Top are on top for a change? Well, you know, they beat everyone on their schedule. They had one of the top schedules to date. Really, and they still have a tougher schedule to boot. I mean, they're playing against monsters this week in Georgia. So can you say that they've done anything to not deserve a number one ranking? No, they haven't done anything other than maybe style points, but they've won everybody on their schedule. They beat everybody on their schedule. I think at the end of the day, any one of those undefeated teams can, you could just throw them out of a bucket and whatever order it comes out. Because, you know, there's still time. There's still a few games left.
A lot of football to
I am just shocked at how little respect some teams are getting. And that's something to be said about the way this committee is deciding to rank things, I guess. And that's really what's disheartening, because if you're in, you know, that college football player is just lining up and playing whoever's on their damn schedule. They're not the guys who set that schedule up 10 years ago. So for them to go ahead and just downgrade some of these, that's really sad.
Yes. Facebook comment. It says, go Georgia. But continue your thought if you haven't finished it.
Well, you know, if you look at the playoff rankings right now, you have an undefeated TCU ranked seventh.
Correct.
And they didn't, you know, and they're undefeated. Why are they behind a one-loss Alabama? You could say, you know, if truly things were how they are supposed to be, undefeated teams should be in the front of the line. Now, granted, we all know everybody's thinking with the strength of schedules and what a beast the SEC conference is and everything. And I can respect that. But if you go ahead and you have that same argument that they beat everybody on their schedule for Tennessee, you have to have the same argument for Texas Christian.
Yeah,
And that's honestly the one that really, that's the only one that really bothers me right now. Other than that, I mean, like I said, the top five, you could have put them all, or you could have put all those names in a bucket, thrown them out in any order that they put up, that they came out on, should have been fine, because at the end of the day, they went on their schedule. It's just the first rankings, people. Everybody's freaking out. I mean, I honestly think they're giving a lot of weight to just a bunch of people in a room who are picking, instead of going ahead and actually verifying who they beat and what they beat and how they're doing it. I mean, seriously, are they beating their opponents like a drum, or are they fighting and clawing for a win? I think there's something to be said about that.
Yes, this is just the first week. The sky is not falling, as far as I can tell. But a lot could happen, and the big shuffle could happen this Saturday, Andre, when they face Georgia, who is number 3 according to the CFB playoff rankings. This game has a lot of clout, a lot of pressure. Do you think this can determine definitively number 1?
I think it has a lot to do with it, because that one, it comes out of that conference. Whoever comes out of that conference unscathed is the legit number 1 in my eyes, because of how tough that conference is. And I'll respect it to that extent. They truly are the premier conference in college football. They truly are. And yes, Everybody else is playing for second place.
Yes,
I know some people here in Ohio will hate me for saying that, but they have to admit it's right now. That's what it is right now. The crown jewel of college football, competition wise, is the Southeastern Conference.
The best conference in the country, maybe in the world. No. Yes, obviously SEC, very heavy. A lot more teams joining that conference in the next upcoming years. So this will get competitive. Ohio State, number 2 solo in that mix. Your thoughts on their performance this season so far?
I mean, they're beating everybody on their schedule. They're doing it soundly. I got nothing but respect for that, for those guys and that staff. And I honestly feel that, you know, rightfully so. There's no qualms with them being on number 2. I just wish they had a tougher non-conference schedule. But it is what it is.
Yeah, their remainder schedule is they're playing Northwestern this weekend. Then they got Indiana on November 12th. Then Maryland, November 19th. And I would say, undisputedly, their next hard game is against Michigan, which is on November 26th, Thanksgiving weekend. So they have to win out, and obviously, but they play Michigan at Ohio State at the Horseshoe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's going to be something hard for Harbaugh. Everybody's going to make it about Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh hasn't won at the Horseshoe. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and Harbaugh's stuck around with Michigan, so he definitely wants to get that win, but I don't think it'll be this year.
See, I don't know. I don't know. The Michigan defense, and it's, you know, some of these Miami fans might agree with me. The Michigan defense all of a sudden looks better without Gattis at running it than it did last year.
The controversial Josh Gattis. Last year.
I'm not saying he's controversial. No, sir. I'll never say that, because that guy is a gentleman. So, no, he's not controversial by no means. But he is, you know, the question at hand is, who's really calling that defense? Because he's not replicating with the talent that he has at Miami. That's the only thing I question. Like, how come very similar talent at the University of Miami, and he's not getting the same production out of those guys? Now, you could argue that it's the first year of that defensive scheme, but you could also argue that that happens everywhere. So, I mean, now with the transfer portal and everything, you end up with a whole new roster every year, practically.
Miami football, let's go into that. They're 4-4, Andre. The third in the ACC Coastal division. They've had some question mark losses. They lost against Middle Tennessee. Obviously, UNC is a legit team. They beat Virginia Tech, though. Duke beat them right out, and they beat Virginia by 2 points. Some say this is not Cristobal's team. You know, wait till next year. That's when you'll see the real baloney. Your thoughts on UM's performance this year?
I think it's baloney. Exactly what it is. It's baloney. He was brought for a job. His job was to take him to the next level. I'm not seeing that level. In fact, I'm seeing a step back. I don't know why. I don't care. If I'm a UM fan, I would be very upset. They got rid of a guy who is bringing in good talent for another guy who brings in great talent, but we're not seeing these. We're not seeing it translate on the field. Friendship aside, I'm seeing the same mistakes that I saw in Oregon. I am seeing the same mistakes when it comes to the big games that they got to beat, that they got to win. The team comes out flat. I don't know what they got to do to fix that. I don't know what is going on internally. I don't care. As a former resident of Miami, you know, that is my hometown, immortalizing the U, it is sad to see them flounder in mediocrity. Flounder with all that talent. They're floundering, and it's sad. It really is sad. It needs to change. I am no magician. I don't have a crystal ball. Am I going to apologize the fact that it's his first year there? No, because he came in with possibly the best facilities that University of Miami has ever had, with the best resources that Miami has ever had, and the best talent that Miami has had in over 10 years. So, no, there is no excuses. I just want results if I'm a Miami fan.
Yeah, you got to beat the teams like Middle Tennessee. You got to beat the teams Clemson and all that. And, you know, obviously there's some chatter about them wanting to go to the SEC. I'm not sure how much truth is that, but they got to win the ACC to prove it and whatnot. So there is some optimism. I do think Cristobal does have a honeymoon period longer than most coaches, but I think he'll get it done.
Yeah, he's Miami's prodigal son. He took he took FIU from the from implosion and almost being shut down to the to heights of winning championships and fighting for championships, to then leaving under the stupidest of reasons, when an athletic director and a head coach can't get along, that's huge problems. And two grown-ass men can't meet in the middle, there's a problem. And that's stupid, because at the end of the day, it's a business. But you're right. He does get a longer honeymoon because of who he is. He is the Miami Golden Boy. But, you know, that gold tarnishes real quick when you don't win.
Yeah, and
he needs
Oregon
to win out. He needs to win out. Honestly, I think if he doesn't win out, some people are going to ask some serious questions, and it's going to start with the recruits that he has committed. If he can't win out, what are they walking into?
Andre, Auburn has a head coaching vacancy open. Brian Harsin was fired this past week. Your thoughts on the firing, and who should coach Auburn?
You see, I don't think that was a right hire at any time, and mostly because Harsin was from the Plain States. I mean, he was Boise. He was the Boise State guy. It's very hard for a Boise State guy who inherits a team that, let me go back to explaining the Boise State way. If you live in Iowa, North Dakota, Minnesota, Idaho, Washington, Nevada, most of those kids, they immortalized, they grew up knowing that Boise State is the king of the Mountain West. They might not always win the conference, but they are the most respected team in the conference of the Mountain West. So recruiting at Boise State was not hard. Also, the television exposure at the time for Boise State was easy because everybody, you know, it was like Virginia Tech in the 90s. Virginia Tech was always on Thursday Night Football on ESPN. They always were two games a year playing on Thursday night on ESPN. Guaranteed. That was the Frank Beamer way of recruiting. Well, Boise State figured that out with the blue turf and going ahead and being and catering to ESPN. Well, guess what? Everybody now caters to ESPN the same way, and what matters is marketing dollars. Boise is not the mecca of football anymore. And now what is the mecca of that area anymore? Because now you got Wyoming doing well. You got BYU doing well. You have other schools in that area doing great. Fast forward to now, where the man did very good consistently at Boise State, and Auburn needed to fill in a spot. Well, it was during the pandemic. It was either during the pandemic or right before or while right after the pandemic got going, and they chose Brian Harsin. Brian Harsin is a beautiful man, but he walked into the boiler room of boiler rooms in Auburn. If you can't beat Alabama, it's a failure. That is the standard at Auburn. Gene Chizik had to learn that. Gus Malzahn had to learn that. Every coach who has ever been there knows that if you can't beat Alabama at least once every other year, you're in trouble. And that's no matter what. No matter what. Now, was he the right fit? I truly feel that was basically dressing up a pig and calling it a day. That was the laziest coaching hire ever. He had no business being there. Now, what I do find intriguing is that now that opening is going on at the same time that you have some other former powerhouses open. You have Nebraska open. You got Wisconsin open. So you also have Nebraska. Arizona State. Nebraska's open. Wisconsin's open. Auburn's open. Arizona State is open. There's a lot of jobs out there that are open, and there's going to be more jobs that are going to get open on Black Monday, Monday right out. And I truly feel that if I'm on the Auburn board, I will go ahead and I would make the argument that they need a splash, and they need to rethink. They need to rethink the way football is done, and honestly, maybe quite possibly hire Deion Sanders.
I was gonna say either you're gonna say Deion Sanders or Lane Kiffin, because that splash, you know, could go well.
Lane Kiffin is happy at Ole Miss because he knows that the SEC is really the hardest conference there is for these coaches.
The granddaddy of it all.
If he was to move, it would be to move out of the SEC to win easy, to go to a place where it's easier to win, not some place where it's so hard to win. I mean, he's got generational wealth now. It's not no longer that. He just likes to compete, and he's competing really, really well over there at Ole Miss. In fact, there's an argument to be saying that he's him and Hopeful over at Tennessee, they're one and one. They're 1A and 1B for coaches of the year right now. Just look at how diverse and crazy that their rosters are. There's something to be said about that. But no, back to the Auburn situation. I feel there's something to be there's an argument to be had of why not try Deion Sanders. You just got rid of a coach in 2 years. Before that, you got rid of a national champion in 4 years. Before that, you got rid of a national champion in 5 years. So why not? Why not try the experiment?
And case in point, that Deion Sanders attracts a lot of players.
That is one of the things. The other thing is, quite possibly in this new era of NIL, this new era of the metrics of how these kids decide their schools, you need flash. You need flash.
Which he has.
There's something to be said about a guy who's winning in Jackson State, a school that every school that I honestly am of the belief they have no business even playing this year when they couldn't have they don't have clean water. The city doesn't have clean water, but yet they have an undefeated football team.
Something to
think about that, people.
Yeah.
Think about that, people.
He's moving the
city
Jackson
of
economy.
Jackson, Mississippi. The people of Jackson, Mississippi cannot drink their water out of their faucets, but they could go to an undefeated football game. Football team playing on ESPN game day. Wow.
ESPN game day went to Jackson State? Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot to tell.
Yeah, it tells you something.
Which,
I mean,
he will sell tickets. Well, Auburn already sells tickets, but they can boost
their
marketing,
has anything
their
to do
branding
with,
to the next level, man.
I truly feel that there's an argument to be had to switch it. Just switch gears and try the social experiment. I mean, they're spending all this money on these buyouts already. I mean, they're still paying. They're still paying the last two coaches.
Gus Malzahn.
They're still paying Gus Malzahn. They're still paying, and now they're going to be paying Harsin. I mean, like, seriously, why not try it? If you got that type of money and you got the big money clip to do it, try it. Why not?
And of course, some say Deion Sanders' biggest goal or his end goal is being coach at FSU.
I don't know, man. I don't know, and I'm staying out of that one. I'm staying out of that one because there's a coach there that has not been fired, and I've had friends that they've been head coaches where they keep talking about who his next replacement is, even though the man never left the building. So that's just not right.
We'll just leave it there. How about that?
Yep.
All right. Anything else before we head into predictions for this weekend?
Just remember that football is entertainment. It's a sport. It's entertainment. It's not life.
It's child's play.
But it is a tool. It is a tool for these kids to get an education. And let's remember that when we got our kids out there playing, and we're hoping for them to learn from the skills of learning to be coachable, learning leadership, learning football the right way.
The right way it is. All right. Predictions. Let's begin with number 6, Alabama at number 15, LSU. Who is going to take it at Baton Rouge, the Death Valley?
It's going to be a night game. And anything happens in LSU at night, anything.
A lot can happen.
But a lot could happen. The DBs are suspect. They've been exposed now 2 weeks in a row, or actually 3 weeks in a row, for Alabama. But I think they win this one, not soundly, but they win it.
Is this a weaker Bama team from previous years?
Yes, it is. They had a. This is quite possibly the weakest defense that Alabama has had in recent years.
Number 20, Wake Forest. At number 21, NC State, a North Carolina derby.
I think that's a no-brainer there. I definitely do not have my money on Wake Forest. Sorry.
Okay. NC State it is. It's actually a Raleigh derby because they're both in the Raleigh metro area.
Yes. Yes.
All right. The granddaddy of it all, determination. We might find out who is number one with that one single game this weekend on November 5th. Tennessee Volunteers at the Georgia Bulldogs in Athens, Georgia.
I think Georgia will win this, but it will be closer than everybody thinks because Tennessee, they've won some games, some tough games. Those kids have done very well, and that offense looks quite impressive.
Tennessee has something to prove this Saturday. They might be playing for their season, for their playoff spot, for their hopes. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to choose Tennessee for the upset, believe it or not.
By a point.
That's the only way they're going to win.
There you go.
All right.
There's only one more game we have to talk about.
Not the World Series, right?
Oh, no. Oh, heck no. No.
Okay. Which one?
Tomorrow, Air Force plays Army.
This early in the year?
No, they play it every year in November. Every first Saturday of November.
And who you got up for that matchup?
Well, you know, it helps that I'm an alumnus. But yeah, I got Air Force Army. No bias whatsoever. I'm just going by the fact that Air Force has owned that trophy much longer than anybody else of the other two. So we sank Navy. I say we run over and carpet bomb Army.
Astros are up 3-2. Andre, will they close it out tomorrow night, or will Philadelphia extend it to a game 7? Who wins on game 6 in Houston?
I think it's over. I honestly think Astros are going to win it, and they did it without banging on a
trash can.
And they did it without banging on a trash can.
Which I saw that documentary this past week. Very clever, but yeah, not good. That's not good for the game. Cheating. Quite incredible how people can get creative with that stuff. Poll question of the day. Favorite candy, Andre? The options are Skittles, Tolly Rancher, Milk Duds, or Baby Ruth.
Can I vote none of the above?
Yeah, none of the above, or you can name your favorite candy that's not in the options.
My favorite candy is Lifesavers.
Interesting. The mint version or the fruit version?
Either way. It doesn't matter. Either way, I'm a big fan of either one. Hard candy. Yes, that is. Now, chocolate bar, my absolute favorite. Is a Three Musketeers. Wow. The fat boy in me just loves that thing.
I have not seen that in a while. I'm not sure if they sell it in supermarkets still.
They do.
All right. So far, Jolly Rancher is up 60%. Skittles and Baby Ruth is tied at 20. Milk Duds at 0.
There you go.
Well, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or go to Twitter, thesportscast1, to vote on your favorite candy. And big weekend ahead of us, of course. Volunteers in Georgia is the biggest talk in town for any town in America, and of course, and other games as well. Andre, I don't know how much you can disclose it, but any closing words before we go?
No, thank you for having me on. As always, it's always a joy to talk to you guys, to you, and of course, your other colleagues that are always on the sports cast, the Jersey Boys, Byron and Victor. They're awesome. They're on Thursday nights. You know, got to give them a plug because they're awesome people. They're awesome. But yeah, no, thank you for having me, Santiago. It's always a joy.
Andre, always a pleasure. Hometown boy in Miami. The Giants are 6-2, if you haven't realized it by now.
Oh, I know. They're ecstatic.
They're quieter. They're less complaining. They're stale, like they're less brutal this year. They're a little bit more happier, calm. They're enjoying their Sunday afternoons a little bit better than before. Well, there you have it. Andre Gispert from Northeast Ohio. And this was your update. Santiago Leon signing out.